The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Every single week, 7 o'clock Central, right here on Tony Curry Radio, the TKR app. Get it through Android or Apple. You don't have to spell it out anymore, just TKR, and you're good to go. Classic rock to the bone, around the clock, and of course, all these great shows, including Dr. Rab's Dark Side of the Pooch. The Ross Bridge Animal Hospital joins us every single week. Big part of our show are your emails, and we got some killers here. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, but he joins us right now, Dr. Rabster. What's up, brother? How are you?
You know, man, like, you are always at 100. You know, like, you're always, you're always happy, you're always energetic. Like, who you are on every platform that I've ever heard you on is who you are in real life. But it just hit me, you know, as we were, you know, talking before the show, and then we transitioned to the show. Did you ever work with people that they were just totally different? And then, like, the show came on and it was like the light switched.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I was always told it's not a shift, it's a show, it's entertainment. And so, you know, people would say, my dad would always say, have a great show, man. It's not a shift, it's a show. What's your shift? You know, and so I just know that when people are listening to the radio or listening to entertainment or listening to a show like Dark Side of the Pooch, they want to be entertained. And while they may be compassionate, they don't really care if we're having bad days or we're tired or we just got in from a long night. They want to hear entertainment. So I try to always keep that in mind. And my guest, you are always on key. You're fantastic. You're always friendly and happy. And I want people to laugh and I want people to enjoy the show. But just because I'm having a bad day doesn't mean that I should be spreading that. So hopefully I don't have that. But dude, God blesses me in so many different ways. You know, I do a gratitude list every morning when I wake up out of bed. And that sets my standard for the day. I'm good to go, man.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. You're always at 100, but yeah. I'm sure that there are some people out there that, you know, once that on air sign comes on, you know, they're totally different.
Well, let me see if I can bring you down a little bit.
No, don't bring me down.
Our first article. And I'm happy that I can bring you some information, because sometimes you learn here from Tone to Bone on what's going on in the pet world, because you usually have your head up something in there at the Ross Bridge Animal Hospital. You're so flipping busy. But Glamour Magazine just came out just a couple of hours ago. There's a new way to memorialize our little furry friends. You know what it is? It's a hot tattoo. Yes.
Tattoo,
yes.
On your face.
Not on your face, but pet tattoos. Now you can take a picture of your pet and actually have it, you can, like, a real tattoo on your arms. We're not talking about those sticker things. We're talking about a real tattoo, just like you can on a cake or something like that. You know how you can take photos and put them on cakes now? You can now take photos of your, would you ever have a tattoo of a pet of yours?
I don't think so, but I'm afraid of tattoos. So I don't have any tattoos, and I'm really, you know, the people that do have tattoos, I stand in awe of you, because I have, you know, I have a fear of, I don't like needles. I give a lot of injections every day. Yeah. I don't like needles myself. And also, you know, in some ways I'm surprised I got married, because I have like a fear of commitment, and God gave me like the perfect woman that, you know, it's worked out great. But just knowing that that thing is there forever, you can get it, you know, you get it lasered off or whatever. But so if I were a tattoo person, I would 100% have a tattoo of my pet somewhere, but I'm not a tattoo person.
See, my kids want me to get a tattoo now. I'm 57 and I'm actually thinking about it, because now I'm old enough that I'd only have to have it for 25 or 30 years. And I think at the age of 55, 57, you really don't make too many mistakes. And so you're like, you know, but to have something 18, 19, 20 years old, and to know you have to have it for the, and depending on where you're putting it, I'm certainly would put it like under my arm or something like that, somewhere where people couldn't find it. But it's, I'm not a big tattoo person myself. Let me ask you a personal question. How many pets have you had your entire life?
Oh man. So my entire life,
just give me a round number.
Too many to count. If you include all the horses that like I grew up with, I mean, I've probably had around 40 or 50.
Okay. So
if you go ahead, if you were going to like just break it down to dogs and cats, I've probably had 15.
If you had to memorialize one of those pets, in other words, the pet that meant the most to you, does it stick out or are they all?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which one was
it was, when I was growing up, I was probably between, you know, the ages of probably second and 10th grade. We had a Great Dane. His name was Max, and he was awesome. He was just a behemoth of a dog. And we lived on a farm, and he was always running around playing. Every time we were outside, he would be with us. And he was like, between me and my dad, he was like our other, it was almost like a brother to me, you know, almost like another son to my dad. Like that's how close that we were. And man, I remember like it was yesterday, we came home. This kind of fits in with our conversation that we were having earlier. We came home and from a basketball game, I was in high school. So I must've been 10th or 11th grade. And we just found that dog and he had passed away. It was in the yard.
Oh no.
He had just passed away. And my dad laid over that dog and wept. And so I had just come home from a basketball game. I was really sweaty and I went inside. I had to hit the shower and I was bawling in the shower, aww. You know, just like, you know, so that's just one that's your childhood pet. You have tons of memories with as you grow up. And, you know, Max was my buddy. Every time I was doing something, playing outside, you know, running around with the horses. And, you know, that was a sad one. And, you know, I saw my dad cry three times in his life. Well, four, but it was when his dad passed away, mm-hmm. When I was leaving to go to college,
yeah.
When Max died, and when we had the conversation that he had terminal cancer. Those were the four times I saw my dad cry.
What a great story, man. Thank you for sharing that. That is that is fantastic. I mean, we had dogs growing up, but normally we would go away to camp or something like that. We'd come back and something would always happen to the dog whenever we go away to camp. And they were always older. And we would keep dogs until it was time for them to go. I mean, we've been picking them up and putting them out in the yard and stuff like that. But it's funny because you can have dogs and cats and pets your entire life, but there always seems to be that one that you really have that connection with. And mm-hmm. I'm starting to have that a little bit with my dog Rainer right now, just because, and I think a lot of it's growing up, but I also think it's about a pet that you have when you're going through some stuff too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think those are the dogs and the pets that really you hold near to your heart. So,
my dog that I have right now, we always have a tighter bond when it's just me and him in the house.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, cause yeah, I don't work my fingers to the bone, but you know, I work a good bit. And, my wife and kids during the summer, they'll take off on a trip or something, you know, and it'll just be me and Renzo at home. And during those times, our bond grows because it's just the dudes in the house and we're just sitting around, you know, we're watching SportsCenter or doing whatever we're doing. And, you know, he's the only thing at that point, that's all you got. And so, you know, these people that, you know, maybe they don't have a family or they've lost their family or they don't have a family yet. Maybe they're young or whatever. Like, you know, those are the years where you really create a strong bond with your pet. And those are the pets that when you lose them, at least for me, it really hurts.
Yeah. And I mentioned before we started the show, my son is being moving to Clemson this coming week. And Rainer is his dog. He got that dog for him about 4 years ago. And that's probably the most difficult thing. He's like, Dad, I'm going to miss you, but I'm really going to miss Rainer. And I said, I get it. In his sophomore year, he can actually move in with him. He'll have to move on campus. I said, well, I'll keep the dog good for another year. So you let me know. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got some emails all over the place. We got them from Cleveland, Northport, Tuscaloosa, Cincinnati. Dan in Cincinnati's checked in. So we'll get those in just a few minutes. Another one of those top 10 lists. This is a top 100 list. Wallet Hub, of all sites, has come out with their least and most friendliest pet places in the country. These are the most beautiful and worst cities in the world to own pets. It's based on pet budgeting, pet health and wellness, and outdoor pet friendliness. Would you like to take a stab at the least friendly cities in the United States to have a dog or a cat?
I'll give you some states. Can I do the best states first?
Sure.
Okay, I'll give you three that I think will be near the top.
Okay, top three states. Go ahead.
Okay, Florida, yep. California, Oregon.
All right. Number one, Scottsdale, Arizona. A little surprising there. Number two, right. You nailed it. Tampa, Florida. Number three, St. Petersburg, Florida. Number four, Las Vegas. Number five, Colorado Springs. Number six, Birmingham, Alabama.
Awesome.
How about that? I mean, that's good.
I love that.
Number seven, Atlanta. Number eight, Raleigh, North Carolina. Number nine, St. Louis. And number 10 is Portland, Oregon. Birmingham's finally made a top 10 list, and this is a good thing. And that is fantastic news for a guy like you who takes care of a little Puccitos. I love
that.
Do
you think that it's just because of me? Do you think that it's only
I don't think there's any doubt. You know what I was wondering? Because I looked at the list last year and Birmingham wasn't in the top 30. I'm wondering it's because they built that little dog park underneath the overpass downtown. I mean, I don't know. It's stuff like that moves the needle. It just shows
that.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's Dark Side of the Pooch and people listen to it. Yes. And they think, I mean, this is all of this information. Where's it coming from?
Dude, I told you.
From Birmingham.
I'm going to send a copy to Wallet Hub as soon as we get done with the show. All right. You want to give me your least favorite places?
Least favorite places are going to be, I'm going to say, very large, tight metro areas. I love these places, but this is just what I'm going with. Don't get mad at me, people, but I'm going to say places like New York City, Chicago, maybe Philly, DC.
All right. Let's go with the number one, Baltimore, Dallas,
okay.
Santa Ana, which I'm not sure why, Durham, Laredo, New York, you nailed New York, Boston, Chula Vista, Buffalo, and Detroit. Those are your top 10 least favorite places to have a
pet. Yeah, I was close. When I said DC, I'm close there with Baltimore.
No, I think you were spot on, man. Info and hopefully if people want to pick the show up, you can listen to it anywhere in the world. And maybe if you get yourself a little pot of listeners, perhaps your city can get in the top 10 next year because you got Dr. Rab going. Dr. Rab Stewart, 208-0301, 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com is the website, at rossbridgevet on Twitter and, of course, on Facebook as well. And they do fantastic work. We love them. First question here, Bethany in Cleveland, Ohio wants to know, is it normal to get an ultrasound of your pregnant dog when you really don't need one to find out how many pups she's going to have? And if in fact you can, how much does it cost?
You don't have to get an ultrasound. But an ultrasound is mainly to determine if the animal's pregnant. And it's really not a great way to determine how many animals are in there. The best way is with an x-ray.
Okay.
And so the ultrasound is not something you have to do, but when people come in and say, hey, I'm not sure if my pet's pregnant or not, and I really have no clue how far along she could be, that's when we go to the ultrasound. And then we could at least say we have viable animals, whether it be dogs, cats in there. We can give you a decent guess. But when you get to when you have a litter of animals, they all kind of pile up on each other, and it can be really hard to figure out how many there are. So you can ultrasound them as early as about 28 days or so. You can x-ray them around the 45-day mark and get some good ideas on how many puppies are in there. Once their skeletons ossify, meaning that you can see the calcium, they have actual skeletal structure. You can get a decent idea of how many are in there, kind of plus or minus one. Because if you have 8 or 9 puppies or kittens inside a mama, even those start to really pile up on each other. So it can be, believe it or not, it can be kind of tough to find out the exact number.
The gestation point for a guinea pig is 64 days. If I thought that my guinea pig was pregnant, would there be any way to find out using your services? I know you don't do these type of things, but I'm talking from a friend standpoint.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm bringing my guinea pig in this week.
I would love to ultrasound your guinea pig.
Okay. Cause she is absolutely huge. And it feels like her belly is a lot warmer than the rest of her body. Would that be normal for a pregnant animal?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, and it may be that, that their temperature is different, but it's probably more of their abdomen is distended, and maybe you either the hair is maybe, there's less hair because there's more belly growing. And so you can feel that heat better than you normally would.
Okay. info@tonycurryradio.net. I want to get rid of this next story because it's a sad story. Then we want to end on a good note here. Doug in Northport said, I want to know Dr. Rab's thought on the mauling of the three-month-old. I had no clue what he was talking about, so I pulled up the story, and the story just came down earlier today. Vince King and Karen Alcock's female dog named Blizzard killed their girl, Kyra King, back March 6, 2022. The animal, one of 19 kept by the pair, jumped into the front of the couple's van and out of the passenger door before mauling Kyra while she slept in her child seat inside the vehicle. They had early been racing the dogs. They put the dog down. It left Kyra with multiple head and neck injuries. The parents performed CPR on the baby and attempted to revive her. It didn't happen. The judge, they sentenced them today. She said, this is a tragic case, and I have no doubt that both of you wish every day you could wind the clock back so the incident never happened. There was nothing to trigger Blizzard's attack on Kyra, but this occasion was dangerously out of control. Dog ownership is a privilege for many pleasure, but it comes with a heavy burden under the Dangerous Dogs Act. Blizzard did an awful thing which neither of you expected and will weigh heavily upon you for the rest of your lives. It's appropriate to suspend both sentences. So neither parent will go to prison for the loss of their child. Do you have any thoughts on that particular story?
No, it just makes me nauseous, you know, and 19 animals. That's is crazy. A lot.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a lot, and probably, you know, more than just a normal, you know, couple can manage. So you know, I would say that's too many.
anything special to do though when you've just brought, because the first thing I thought, man, they've just gotten done racing. Anything you would consider to do with an animal, particularly around small children, if perhaps they just went hunting, or you just bring them back from a race, or maybe you just threw a tennis ball in the middle of a lake for a half an hour with your dogs? Anything to settle them down a little bit first, a good idea?
It's a really good idea to settle them down. We talked a little bit about that herd or pack mentality last week, or maybe the week before. When their senses are heightened and they're really keyed up, they act in a way that they wouldn't normally act. You know, and this is a much smaller scale, but you know, they don't, if they're really keyed up, they don't really think about their, you know, their surroundings.
Yeah.
So if you see, you know, my kids like to get my dog really worked up, and he'll be running through the house, banging into stuff. And, you know, I'm like, guys, somebody's going to get hurt. Like, yeah. I know y'all think it's funny, but when he runs into you and hyperextends your knee, you're not going to think it's funny anymore. No. And, you know, dogs, they just, when they get into that mode, they can't control themselves. They can't control their bodies, you know, and this is not exactly apples to apples, because, you know, this dog was malicious. But when they get real keyed up, they're unpredictable.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, the Rossburg Animal Hospital. It is the best place in the world to take your cats or your dogs. Even if you have a pregnant guinea pig and you got a person on the inside, they'll help you out. And I greatly appreciate that. Mary in Tuscaloosa says she's pretty sure a cockapoo ate a Tide Pod about 3 days ago. Wants to know if she thinks the dog will be okay.
Oh, if you're at the 3 day mark, I think you're going to be fine.
Okay.
You know, normally those types of obstructive things and toxicity things, you're going to see those within 24 hours. So I think at this point you're good. Just look for GI signs that might alert you that they're not feeling well. So lack of appetite or vomiting, diarrhea, of course, you know, acting like they don't feel good, being lethargic is something you can see with any ailment. So, but you know, being that far removed from it, I think you're probably in good shape.
My thought is that most animals that live outside, and I know that we live in a different time now where we have fences and dog collars and everything else. And we lived in a rural area where we just let the dog out. We had no clue where it went, and it was gone for hours. And we'd come back around dinner time to eat. There's no telling what my dog used to get into, trash the whole night. And then it would come, it would regurgitate or throw up, and that would be fine the next day. Pretty much the same. I mean, obviously, if you know your dog is eating something poisonous, you certainly want to bring the dog into the Rossburg Animal Hospital. But for the most part, don't dogs eat? I mean, they eat sticks, they eat poop, they eat all kinds of things. They're pretty resilient, aren't they?
They are. And dogs chew up sticks and they eat grass, and that's just normal dog stuff, but there are things that do cause toxicity. you know, things from the palm family, those type of decorative plants can cause some problems. Cats are really highly sensitive to lilies, and all the foods that we always talk about. You know, everyone pretty much knows about those by now. But there's a lot of things that the average outdoor dog gets and gets into. And, you know, think about this. If you have an outside dog, do you know how long it would take you to figure out if it had diarrhea? Like, you may never know that it has diarrhea for its whole life.
It's no doubt. Yeah, because we know when our dog used to come back and it wasn't hungry, we knew we were in trouble. We knew that it had gotten in something, and we knew it was going to be a long night. And that's when the dog would stay out in the garage. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. All you got to do is download the TKR app. If you're listening through our podcast, we greatly appreciate it. You can hear the show live 5 days a week, Dark Side of the Pooch, 7 o'clock Central, right here on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio. Dan in Cincinnati has a Amazon parrot, but wants to get a dog. And he's had this parrot for 6 years. And he's wondering what's the best way to introduce the puppy to his Amazon parrot, and do dogs eat birds? He said, he knows dogs will chase anything that runs on the ground, but will they chase things that fly? I've never seen dog. Will they?
Oh yeah. My best advice to Dan would be to not introduce them.
Okay.
And just do not give that dog the opportunity to get to that bird ever.
Yeah. And I know we have bird dogs. It makes sense that they chase birds, but with a dog like an Australian Shepherd too, I mean, if you've got guinea pigs or gerbils or anything small, anything that'll run across the floor, it's over. It's not, you'll hear something at 3 o'clock in the morning. If we lost our hamster one time, and I was hoping it got out of the house, quite frankly, because I knew it had a chance to live. I got out and I could not find it in the house. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard it and I was like, okay, here we go. not a good thing. Hey, listen, before we let you go, first of all, any exciting things happening at Rossbridge Animal Hospital?
I mean, just the typical stuff. We had a dog here today that, you know, it's working on pets is a lot like working on, you know, babies, because they can't talk. And so you're left, you can kind of figure out what body system is affected, and then it's up to you to put the pieces together. But today we had an interesting case of a dog that's just in liver failure for some unknown reason. And so that's an interesting case that we're working through, trying to figure out what's going on and get it treated. Other than that, just pretty much standard stuff.
All right. I want to give you an opportunity to speak about the Hawaiian situation. Over 100 people have perished so far, but also all the pets and all the dogs and kitties that they continue to look. And I know that Southern California has just sent over 50 cadaver dogs to go searching, not only for bodies, but also for pets that are lost through this horrible forest fire. And I've been giving all my hosts a chance to actually talk about that situation, because it's all near and dear to I just can't imagine what those people are going through. First of all, you never hear of any type of fire in Hawaii. You think about volcanoes, you don't think about that, because I always think it rains a lot there, but evidently it does not. But would you like to add anything to that?
It's terrifying. I mean, it's such a small ecosystem, you know, and those people don't have anywhere to go, and it's terrifying. When you live on an island like that, I just can't imagine what those people are going through, how fearful they must be. And, you know, also if they do, you know, make it through the situation, you know, what's left? You know, then you got to pick up the pieces. So it's just such a hard situation. Even if you get through to the other side. Obviously our prayers are with all of those people over there. And, you know, my job, obviously we take care of pets and they're our livelihood. But when it comes to stories like this, I can't think of anything other than the people and what they're going through and what their family members that are going through that, you know, may not even live there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, their family members are over here or in some other country and you know, all they can do is just hope and pray.
You know, and I realize too that 50% of all Hawaiians live below the poverty line. I mean, I just think that you think about going to Hawaii, you just think it's just this incredibly rich state of these chain of islands where everyone's just got all the, and it's just not that way. Tourists love to go there, but when half your audience or half your population lives below the poverty level, there is, and obviously being poor in a beautiful paradise, it is what it is, but it's really unfortunate. So our thoughts and prayers do go out to those wonderful Hawaiians out there that are having to endure this tragedy. It's horrible. By the way, before I let you go, I had my dogs boarded at your place at Rossburg Animal Hospital, the longest I've ever had to board my pets, for 9 days. They have been on absolute best behavior since I got them back. It's been, I don't know what you did there. I don't know if they're afraid they're going to go back. I think they want to go. I think they thought it was a vacation too, but it was almost like they went to boot camp. My dogs are so good right now. It's unbelievable. I'm thinking about just maybe dropping them off maybe once a month just to board them for a few days. They came back. They have been so well behaved. What did you do?
Our kennel staff, they make them earn it, you know. It's like sit, stay, roll over, shake.
Do they really? I'll bet they do.
They like to play with them, you know. They have a fun time with them, and you know, we've got a couple kennel staff members who, you know, they like to work with them while they're here, you know, and just because it gives them an outlet too. It gives the staff an outlet too, you know, and helps to helps their morale when they can work with the dog and maybe just help it feel at home and maybe even teach it a thing or two.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's great work. Thank you so much. 205-208-0301, 208-0301, RossburgeVet.com, at RossburgeVet on Twitter and on Facebook, or wherever you want to find those fine folks, you can find them. They're the best. Rossburg Animal Hospital, Dr. Rabster. Thank you, brother. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.